coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
I hit them very hard. They hit me very hard, honestly. I hit them really hard. I don't know that they're going to endorse me. And you know what? Honestly, I don't want to put any pressure on them. If they don't feel like it, they don't have to.
Donald Trump says he won't ask candidates who have dropped out of the race for endorsements. What he does want is for John Kasich to drop out of the campaign. Trump says Kasich is stealing delegates and has no chance to win the nomination. But Kasich says an open convention is coming, and he is here to stay.
There are no rules governing the next convention. The rules have not been set, and we'll see what a rules committee decides to do.
Trump says the Republican National Committee should not allow Kasich to run. Trump voiced his concerns at a meeting with the RNC in Washington last week. This is USA Radio News, breaking news on USAradio.com.
Hey, it's Rusty Humphries from Trending Today USA. As I look at all of the best websites in the world, one of the ones that actually kind of brings a tear to my eye every day, and I know a lot of my female friends love it, it's ThoughtfulWomen.org. And Heather Laskin, what do you do at ThoughtfulWomen.org?
Well, Rusty, we have all kinds of stuff on our site. This basically, you know, stuff that would be interesting to a thoughtful woman. So everything from recipes and tips and tricks, you know, in your kitchen or your house, to inspiring and uplifting stories, to news and political type articles, just kind of the whole gamut.
The uplifting stories, that's where you really kind of shine at ThoughtfulWomen.org, don't you think?
Yeah, that's what people tend to really gravitate towards.
It's stuff that you want people to feel good about, a great website to go into the morning, get that nice inspiration every day.
Yeah, exactly. And we love getting to find those stories and share them with everyone.
All right, well, Heather Laskin does a great job. Make sure you check out this incredible website, ThoughtfulWomen.org. That's ThoughtfulWomen.org.
Retired U.S. soccer star Abby Wambach is apologizing for her DUI arrest in Oregon. The two-time gold medalist posted on Facebook Sunday that she was arrested after having dinner at a friend's house in Portland. Tickets to the 2016 Olympics in Rio just aren't selling. USA Radio's John DeMaster has that story.
The Olympic Games start in 4 months, and Brazil's new Minister of Sports trying to figure out how to get more people to buy these tickets. Only half of them are sold. The Brazilian government may buy the tickets and hand them out at schools. That's just one idea. Officials also need to work to boost worldwide confidence in their ability to host games and make sure the travelers are safe. Why aren't people buying these tickets? Well, there are concerns about the Zika virus. Their economy is also collapsing, and the facilities, they may not even be finished in time. The budget for building it all was slashed by $500 million in January. For USA Radio News, I'm John DeMaster.
This is USA Radio News.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at ConservativeTribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. ConservativeTribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At ConservativeTribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit ConservativeTribune.com. That's ConservativeTribune.com.
The Supreme Court is rejecting a challenge to the way legislative districts are drawn in Texas. In a unanimous decision, the High Court preserved the legal principle of one person, one vote. A conservative activist challenged a Texas law which requires the drawing of legislative districts based on general population, not eligible voters. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg wrote the decision and says there's no reason to disturb a longstanding use of total population in drawing legislative districts. As Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant decides whether to sign the so-called Religious Freedom Bill there, opponents plan to rally against it at the state capitol today. The legislation is aimed at protecting government employees and businesses who oppose same-sex marriage on religious grounds. Gay rights groups say the bill legalizes discrimination. April is the traditional start of allergy season. Sarah Lee Kessler spoke to a New Jersey allergy expert.
50 million Americans have allergies.
It's the sixth leading cause of chronic illness in the United States.
So Dr. Nita Ogden of Englewood Hospital and Medical Center advises patients to take their meds early before their allergies kick into high gear.
Create a basket that you keep at your doorstep. You're going to put the clothes that you wear outside that are covered with pollen in that basket, throw them in the wash, take a shower before you go to bed, wash your hair.
She also suggests putting a pollen app on your smartphone and checking on the day's pollen count before committing to running or other strenuous exercise.
This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. Hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Good afternoon. This afternoon's weather is rain likely before 2 p.m. and then showers after 2 p.m. What does that mean? Rain before 2 p.m. and showers after. I think showers is rain, isn't it? Maybe it's just me. High near 54, west winds around 13 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 90%. Tonight, there's going to be showers before 7 p.m. and then rain after 7 p.m. Unbelievable. The low is going to be around 26, north winds 16 miles per hour, and they're going to have gusts as high as maybe 30 miles per hour. Your chance of precipitation is going to be 80%. Tuesday, it'll be sunny with a high near 42, north winds around 14 miles an hour. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 23. North winds 5 to 7 miles an hour, becoming calm after midnight. Wednesday will be partly sunny with a high near 51. Southeast winds about 10 to 15 miles an hour in the morning. And Wednesday night, you'll have showers, mainly after 2 a.m. And it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 41. Welcome to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. Compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I am Larry Cartwright, your host, and we are very privileged today to have with us two young ladies. I happen to know them. One's over there blushing and laughing. You know? But we have Lynn Danick, who's the Director of Volunteer Services at the Hunterdon Medical Center, and Karen DiPaolo, who's a Coordinator of Volunteer Services, right? Wow, I don't know what that means, but it's a title. Whatever. What does it mean, Karen?
Well, it's kind of the same thing. We are like a human resources for volunteers. So we manage all the volunteers that come on board. We're bringing them in through application process, health process. We bring everybody in through orientation. Everything is now, we're working towards everything being paperless. So that's a huge undertaking on our part, but we're like a human resources for volunteers.
Okay. All right. I asked this of all guests on both shows, the Mental Health Matter show and this one. Lynn, how did you get into this type of thing?
I've always been interested in healthcare, and I started out at 18 as a nurse's aide at Muhlenberg Hospital in Plainfield.
Okay.
That was my first official introduction to getting out there and helping people, and I loved it. After working as an aide in the hospital for a couple years, I went through some pretty extensive training to become a certified operating room technician, which was a technical training. It wasn't a college degree. It was technical with a certification degree and testing at the end of it. But what you did then was you acted as a scrub nurse in the operating room. And I loved it. I loved it. It was all kinds of surgeries. We did
this was at Muhlenberg?
This was at Muhlenberg in Plainfield. We did craniotomies and facelifts and breast reductions and gallbladders and hernias and amputations. I mean, it was everything. But it was phenomenal. Unfortunately, after about 3.5 years of scrubbing in on 6 or 7 cases a day, I got a severe dermatitis. So I had to step back from that. And so I did. And around that time, I was having children. So I stepped back and stepped away. But then we moved to Hunterdon County a few years later, and I just had the urge to get back to work when the boys were a little bit bigger. And we were close to Hunterdon Medical Center, and I thought I'm going to give this a feel and see what it's like. And that was 25 years ago. I just celebrated 25 years with Hunterdon Medical Center.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you've always been in volunteering?
Almost 16 years in volunteering, and before that, I worked in the home health department.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So about 9 years in home health and 16 years as director of volunteers.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, Karen.
Okay, my
How did you get into this?
Well, honestly, I'm a long-term resident of Hunterdon. I don't have as much hospital experience as Lynn, but having grown up in Hunterdon, having gone to the emergency department many times in Hunterdon, just for silly, clumsy things as a child. And my dad was a patient very often in Hunterdon because of cardiac reasons and his diabetes. I just loved the hospital. So, you know, when I finally had an opportunity to apply for something that would mean something to me, I took that chance. And luckily, I was accepted into the position. I've been with Hunterdon for 19 years now.
Okay.
Always in the volunteer office. So, and I'm hoping to stay there for quite some time to come.
You know, it's funny when you said, you know, come to the emergency room as a kid, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, I have four kids. Ooh, and
yeah.
my oldest son, you know, if I stood behind him, you wouldn't see me.
Okay.
You know, he's like almost 6'4", and he's like broad and, you know, all that. Well, when he was younger, sorry, Paul, but he was a wuss.
Oh.
I mean, he'd stub his finger like this, and he'd go, you know. Well, we were playing, like, wiffle ball in the backyard, you know, and we went to the bases, you know.
Yeah.
So he ran, and he tripped.
Uh-uh.
And he landed on his arm, and he was screaming, you know. And come on, get over it. Come on, get up. You know, it's not that bad. Well, it wasn't swollen.
Uh-oh.
I felt it and everything. It nothing looked, you know, like you didn't even feel like a bone missing, you know, broke or anything.
Right.
So I says, come on, you know, yeah, go have some soda, you know. The next day his arm was like, you know, swelled out three times the thing. I took him to the emergency room and I said to him, in the medical center, and I says, Paul, don't tell him this happened yesterday. Please, don't tell him.
Right.
And he's, and that's like a family joke now, you know.
Yeah.
He says, yeah, don't do anything around your father because, you know, he'll never take you to the hospital.
Hours,
you know?
Right?
He'll tell you, just get over it.
Well, I think that's how we all grew up. You know, we all grew up like that, you know, where it was like.
And my other son, my second oldest, he would always, there you go, you know. He'd fall near the fireplace and get, you know, the
stitches,
the thing in his face,
uh-huh.
And you know,
yeah.
And he was always going to the
so hospital. Three boys and a girl,
three boys
oh,
and a
boy.
Girl.
You were always in the emergency department then.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's good though.
Okay, we know what your roles are at the hospital. Mm-hmm. You just said that. How many volunteers does the hospital have? Besides me.
Besides Larry, number one,
volunteer.
Greeter on Friday mornings, right, in the main lobby.
Come in and
but,
see him.
you know, our stats do fluctuate because
I would imagine
because
it does.
Monthly we do have orientations. We have some folks that get jobs at the hospital, and so they step out of volunteering. We have some that graduate high school and go off to college, so they move away. We have some that move out of the area, you know, they're retiring down south a lot. But for the most part, our census last year in 2015 was 511 volunteers helped us throughout the year.
Hmm.
So some came and then left us and some more came on board.
Right.
But in total, 511. Now, average stats, usually, if you were to look at 1 month in particular, you'd probably say 390,
yeah,
maybe.
That.
But when you count those that come in and those that left us, over
and
500.
And then, of course, over the summer when we have our influx of college students.
Or high school kids or whatever,
experience, you know, we go up, we bump
we
up
go
to
up
like
quite
450
a bit. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I noticed the other day there was a nurse that went by who used to volunteer.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, because she used to be at the information desk.
Okay.
Marissa, probably.
It was probably Marissa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's her name. Yeah.
Marissa. See, and that's the beauty. I mean, when you – some of those folks – Caitlin's another one. Caitlin came to us at the time. We had volunteers that could come at 13. And Caitlin came on board when she was 13. She is – now working as a nurse. She works in one of the doctor's practices. She's a grown woman.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful to see kids in the community grow up. And that's not the only two. We have many. We have
many. Right. Yeah.
But at this point now, we've both been there long enough that we've seen these kids grow up into college students who have matured into adults. And we've had doctors, nurses, PAs, physical therapists.
Yeah.
I mean, they are all now doing wonderful jobs.
Sure.
And a lot of them at Hunterdon Medical Center, which is awesome.
Yeah, and that's great.
Yeah.
You know, really is. What are some of the different roles that the volunteers do in various departments and, you know, that they work in?
They run the gamut anywhere from clerical to some kind of patient care. We have folks that are working in offices, greeters, information desk. We have folks working in transport that really help move our patients from maybe the patient's bed to maybe they have an appointment in physical therapy or mm-hmm. need to go to a test in radiology or nuclear meds. So they're getting that patient contact by helping move them. We also have ambassadors that go up onto the floors and they talk with our patients to see how they're doing, whether, you know, their needs are being met, if there's something they can do to help. Thrift store gift shop.
Oh, that's right. The thrift store and gift shop. Yeah.
And we're working on a, not working on, we have a wonderful holistic program.
Yeah. And that's really great because what we're seeing is more and more people heal differently. So having a terrific holistic mm-hmm. program that our volunteers can be a part of makes for just a better satisfaction. Well, we have the first part of our holistic program is our pet therapy program, and that's
okay.
really been around.
Yeah, but you've had that for a while, though.
Many, many years. It's almost 30 years old now. And the beautiful part about that is we have – these dogs have gone through specialized therapeutic training.
Right. Right.
Where, and then they come on board with their volunteer owner, and they visit every day of the week. And we have 7-8 dogs now visiting every day of the week. They go to – mostly they're at the hospital, but they visit the cancer center. They go up onto the patient units. They go to Brightside.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have special little visits down at
– Brightside, that's
Bright,
the
– Brightside is the adult day center.
That's on Spruce Run. What is
Sandy Hook Road
or whatever.
Yeah, so they visit over there. Because those folks, too, they might – love having dogs, but maybe at this point in their life, they don't have them anymore.
Yeah, that's me. We love having dogs, but
not anymore.
Not anymore.
I'm in that category,
you know,
too, now.
No more.
I like visiting other people's dogs, you know. So it's great. So pet therapy is one part, phenomenal, and we're always recruiting. We love having folks. So if anybody's out there and they have a therapy-trained dog, either with Bright and Beautiful or Therapy Dog International, give us a call because we'd love to chat with you about maybe visiting our patients on the units with your lovely dog. We have a holistic tea cart, which our teen volunteers, especially those that are very interested in nursing down the road. So our teens come in 7 days a week and they are offered holistic teas, healing teas, green teas, herbal teas. Now, the beautiful part of that relationship is that ShopRite in Flemington donates the tea for our holistic tea cart.
Now, he's very good.
He's awesome.
Wonderful.
And they have been phenomenal at giving us the teas that we need that we can then offer out. And we offer to everybody. We offer our healing tea to patients, to visitors that are here with the patients. And we also feel that we give it to the caregivers. Because if we can care for our caregivers, they're even better than they were before the cup of tea.
Right.
So everybody enjoys that cup of healing tea in the afternoons.
Yeah, he's awesome because I know when we do anything, he always contributes food and, you know.
That's right.
And it's just, you know.
An advocate for this community. Yeah.
Yes,
absolutely.
He absolutely is.
So it's awesome that we have that relationship with ShopRite.
Yeah.
And then, of course, our last part of the healing, we have two more parts. We have a music program in which we bring in, at this point, mostly high school students that are musically talented, either acoustic guitar, violin. I just sent out an application recently to a young girl who plays the ukulele. They can come in and play in all of our different patient areas. Some just play music. Some sing and play music.
Mm.
But that's – it just takes everybody – you know, for that 5 or 6 minutes that somebody might be playing a song or singing, you escape. You escape. And you're no, you don't think of being, oh, I'm sad. I'm in the hospital. I'm sick. I don't feel good. You're taken away by a beautiful song.
Right.
So it's very healing. And then, of course, our last part, which is really our newest part, is Reiki therapists. Reiki.
It's an energy therapy.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Japanese.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And what it is basically hands-on healing. It's having volunteers who have a good understanding of Reiki and either are a Reiki master or a Reiki level 2, and they make rounds on the units and offer Reiki healing to our patients. Usually what happens is the nurses, say if it's somebody on, say, I'm just going to say for its surgical unit, and maybe somebody's apprehensive or they've had some surgery and they're feeling a little bit of discomfort, not really pain, but a little bit of discomfort. Or a lot of times we'll have patients who are just apprehensive and they're not sleeping well. After a 15 to 20 minute Reiki session, they're snoring. I mean, the volunteer leaves the room and the patient is calmer, relaxed, sometimes sleeping. So that's another part of our holistic program, that we are recruiting Reiki level volunteers, level two or masters. Anybody's interested, please give me a call, because that's another opportunity to expand on that holistic program.
Pardon me. I had a while back, two ladies from Carrier Clinic, and one was a music instructor and one was an art instructor.
Oh.
And they were saying how, you know, people could just draw pencil figures and it calmed them down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and music, she says, you know, some will listen and want country, some would want Beethoven, some, you know, and whatever, and they'd play it, and or she would play it.
Yeah.
And it would, you know, you could see, she says, you could see them in their faces. All of a sudden, they're just, you know, just very calm and, you know.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, if you're in that type of a situation, a carrier, you know, it's good to be calm, you know.
Absolutely. Well, and even in any hospital, when you think about it, nobody wants to be there as a patient.
No.
But, you know, health happens.
I didn't want to be there.
Exactly. You know, and then you know, well, I've got to get this fixed, or I've got to get a repair, or I've got to get something done, and we're there. And we've all been there at one time or another. You know, it's. But even in the emergency department, we'll have our pet therapists go through there, because if it's a pleasant distraction, you know, say you're there and you've got your little one there and you're, you know, trying to deal with, oh, we're waiting for the test to come back. And then comes through this beautiful dog who, if they're tiny, will put down little pads. They can climb up on the bed and play with the child. It's a phenomenal distraction,
which
makes everybody happy. And it works to calm everybody's nerves.
Sure.
So the holistic program is very successful.
We even had with one of our therapy dogs, they had a young adolescent that was having eating disorders, and they really just were trying to get anything into her, and she was struggling with it. She didn't want it. So our little Jack Russell Terrier was up on the bed and just kind of comforting her, and It was sweet, because Jack would eat something. So I guess they had a little ice cream or something like that, and they'd give Jack a little bit of the ice cream and then, you know, just see if she wanted it. At first, she was like, no. But the more Jack ate, all of a sudden, she was feeling more comfortable, and they actually started to get her to eat something.
Right.
Because Jack wasn't judging her. Jack wasn't, you know, any kind of threat. So it was really cool to hear that, you know, they broke that barrier with her.
Yeah.
Him.
Yeah. That's
good
awesome.
Stuff. Yeah. It's good. And our dogs can do that. We've had dogs go up to our two central unit, and they had a patient request once for a dog because the patient was non-communicative. So, just would not communicate with staff until a dog was present. And then she would open up because she was communicating with the dog. And all of a sudden, she would just start to relax enough that she would answer questions.
Right.
So it's great. It's great if you have these different – and that's the thing. People heal differently, some surgically, some through medicine, some through pet therapy, some through a healing cup of tea that just makes us feel better.
Right.
So when you put all of those together with prayer – or, you know, we have a wonderful pastor at our program, in our hospital. And there's so many ways that people feel like, why not give it all to them? Give it all to them and see how they do, and see how it really, I think, enhances healing practices. So we're lucky. Yeah. We have a good, strong program.
Do. That's great. Are there volunteer positions open? You had mentioned teens before. But where would they be, you know, where would they go?
Our teenagers, we generally look for them to be with us after school. So most of our high school students get to us about 2:30, 3 o'clock. They stay with us until about 5:30, 6 o'clock. Variety of positions, same thing, greeter, information desk. If there are 16 and show that they're going to be responsible, we'll let them be that ambassador at the information desk. Some offices, our Hunterdon Regional Pharmacy has been kind enough to start taking some of our high school students in to work in the pharmacy. So they're kind of seeing what the pharmacist is doing.
You're talking about the retail pharmacy?
The retail pharmacy, okay. Yeah.
They help out. Stock shelves, things like that.
Yeah.
So that's a great opportunity.
Child care center?
Child care center is a huge opportunity for our volunteers. Same-day surgery is so good to any of our volunteers, but they're really good to our high school students. They give them the opportunity to discharge patients. They can do charts. They can go in and give Jell-O or applesauce or something to the patients as they're recovering.
Yeah.
So we have a variety of things for our junior volunteers to do. But the key is really they have to be available one day after school.
And we're looking for a year-long commitment, at least. We want our kids to come once a week, but be here with us for at least a year. Many other hospitals say, oh, I just take teens in the summer for 6 to 8 weeks, and then we're done with them. But that's really not a great opportunity for teens to get a true experience of healthcare. And in today's world, who's going to be the next generation? It will be those teens. Yeah. So we feel having them there on a regular basis really gives them that taste of what it would be like to be a nurse, to be a doctor, to be a PA,
and even if they're not looking in a medical field, it gives them an opportunity to help people.
Oh, absolutely. They'll come to us and say, you know, I really was shy when I first started here, but now I communicate really well, and they do. They grow with us, and we see that.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're learning responsibilities. They're learning work ethics. Very important. I think we need more of that. I really do. And I think it's important that the teens are willing to take that responsibility
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
I remember when I started, went through – you know, training, quote unquote.
Yeah.
If you want to call it that.
Right.
What is the training like now?
It's probably still very similar.
It's about 6 hours of orientation.
Yeah, we're going to go over fire safety, how to protect yourself in a hospital in this day and age with, you know, terrorist alerts and things. You always have to be aware of your surroundings. So it's really being aware if somebody comes in and they're agitated or, you know, it is a hospital, so maybe they're getting bad diagnoses and things. So you have to be aware of your surroundings and how to protect yourself and also how to help that person if they need help.
Yeah.
Going over infection prevention in the hospital, you know, it's a hospital. You know, there are germs everywhere. You could go to Walmart and catch just as many germs as in a hospital. But it's learning how to make sure you're washing your hands and
wiping down the wheelchair.
Yeah, right. Protecting yourself, you know, and others.
All equipment gets, you know, so if you're in child development and you're throwing a ball with a little patient or you're helping in same-day surgery and you're discharging somebody with a wheelchair, whatever you're helping that patient with, whether it be a wheelchair or a ball or a hand weight, so whatever it might be, we wipe it down and we make sure it's clean before the patient uses it. And then when that patient's done, it's our responsibilities to wipe it down and make sure it's clean for the next patient. So that's how we keep our patients and our community safe. Big part of it.
So once you go through the 6 hour training that we put you through, then you'd go through department specific training if it's needed. Information desk, we tend to buddy you up with somebody. That tends to be what we do in most departments.
Yeah,
transport,
mentoring.
You're going to have a mentor with you for 4 to 6 weeks so that you're really sure this is how I open a wheelchair, this is how I wipe down the wheelchair, this is where radiology is, is the back entrance to nuclear med.
Right.
So, you know, we don't really throw you to the wolves. We try and make sure you're comfortable before before you're out.
Before you throw them to the wolves, right?
And Karen's right. Most places, we're mentoring. Nobody knows that job better than the volunteer. So whether you're working as a new volunteer in the gift shop or the thrift store or in a direct patient care area, the volunteers that are there and the staff that are in that department are the best. And that's where we become kind of like the human resources. We get the best candidates in, and then we share them with those departments. And then the departments really kind of take over. And although they're still volunteers, they become their volunteers.
Yeah.
They're part of their team.
How did I say this?
See the wheels working.
Yeah, they're working, but they're not connecting. When you get somebody to come in and they go through all this and everything, how do you evaluate where to put them?
Well, we actually do that ahead of time. I interview all volunteers.
Right.
And we sit, and sometimes my interviews are a good 45 minutes because I like to
evaluate. I don't remember being interviewed.
Yeah,
but
you were. But
maybe it was so many years ago, I don't remember.
That's true. But when I don't know the person, I do need to bring them in and talk with them about their experience, their life experiences. What is it they have talents to offer us? You know, that's a part of it. But then also a lot of folks come to us who are looking to, you know, like we have a lot of volunteers that will say, oh, I worked at AT&T or I worked at Merck or I worked, you know, at pharmaceutical companies. But now I want to learn something new. So many people come to us just because they have these wonderful talents. And sometimes they want to continue to use those talents, or sometimes college students, they're looking to learn new ones. Because they think that that will help them
on their resume,
on their career path. Right. Yeah, on their career path. You know, in med school, in PA programs now, you have to have hundreds of hours of volunteering under your belt before you'd get accepted to med school. So it's a prerequisite, but it's also, I think, a great way to make sure, do you have a passion for it? Because there's nothing worse than going to a doctor who really decided after many years of experience, I really didn't want to be in this field. This experience of volunteering and being around people really is it's a passion.
Yeah.
And I think you need to it fuels you. It fuels you to want more and more. So I think bringing these folks in and giving them the opportunity to be here, most will tell you it was an excellent experience. Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand
most
that.
Most will say that. You have a couple that, you know, there's like anything. You have
that's with anything.
Yeah, you're gonna have one that fizzles out on you, and you're like, well, what happened? You know, I was looking for you. I haven't seen you, and you know, or they won't answer the phone. But I think our percentage rate of those that are very successful and stay with us, we wouldn't have 500 volunteers. We would last year alone, our volunteers gave over 65,000 hours to Hunterdon Medical Center. That's caring. That's compassion. And that's wanting to make a difference in your community. And I think that's what makes Hunterdon special.
And that's all things that we wouldn't have at Hunterdon if we didn't have volunteers.
Right.
It's the information desk. It's the tea trolley. It's the thrift shop, the gift shop. Yeah. It's all of the icing on the cake, as you would say. You know?
Right, right.
It's what
it's
makes
those
Hunterdon
extra spiffs.
Really special.
It is. It's those extra
you know,
spiffs.
All those extra things.
Right,
yeah.
Right. That's interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. We Karen and I belong to a statewide program called New Jersey Volunteer Resource Professionals. And we go.
Are you guys a professional?
And so they call us professionals.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Karen, you fooled me, Karen.
Right? Yeah. So we went to our.
See, I can get away with this because what do you got to do? Fire me?
That's right. I can't throw my cup of water that far.
Yeah.
But we went to our January meeting, and one of the girls from St. Peter's showed us a video that she had created. And she said, I tried so hard to think about making a video about volunteers in the hospital. And she said, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't think about, well, you know, where would we do it? Or who would we take? Who's going to be in the video? So she came up with a phenomenal video of a wheelchair rolling by itself down the hallway. An IV pole, but nobody there. Just scooting down the hallway by itself. Phone calls ringing and ringing and ringing, and everybody saying, there's nobody here to answer the phones. And it was a five-minute
awesome.
Video.
Really?
And there was nobody in the cameras. I mean, there was nobody there.
Right.
It was just like phones ringing, wheelchairs rolling with nobody in it, empty stretchers rolling down the hallway.
Empty greeter positions.
It was nobody. Yeah, nobody at the desk. Nobody at the greeter podium. And it spoke volumes because it made us all realize, wow, what would we do without our volunteers?
Yeah.
And it was
That sounds cool.
It was a phenomenal video.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
We should make sure she puts it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was great.
Now that sounds interesting. Oh,
yeah.
You know, give her credit. She came up with a good idea.
It was a great idea.
You know. April is Volunteer Appreciation Month.
Yeah.
Wow, woohoo. We know how important our volunteers are at the medical center.
Absolutely.
You just told us. But there's a don't you guys do something?
We do. We have actually the official national week of volunteering this year is the 10th through the 16th of April. Now, we used to always celebrate within that weekly time, but we're challenged with New Jersey weather. Because it would either be pouring of rain or we'd have 8 inches of snow and a lot of call-outs at the last minute. So about, 8, 10 years ago, we made the decision to officially make the first Monday in May our 100 in Healthcare official volunteer recognition. So this year, we're going to be celebrating May 2nd. We theme our parties in celebration of our volunteers because we find it's a whole lot more fun. So this year, our theme is really patriotic.
Patriotic, right? Red, white, and blue?
Yeah. Patriotic America. We're hoping that we'll have a lot of our volunteers come that are veterans. We are going to I'm kind of working on maybe a
surprise.
A couple surprises there, yeah. A couple surprises coming. But we're really going to just we're very thankful we live in America. We're very thankful that we have the support that we have.
The freedom to volunteer.
Yeah. The United States is truly the biggest of all the countries in the world. We are the biggest. And I think it's because our folks understand freedom. They understand freedom. They understand that it doesn't come without bloodshed. We've been extremely lucky, though, to have phenomenal people who have fought for our freedoms. And because of that, we're celebrating that this year. What better year than election year, and we're not getting into elections.
No, we're not getting into politics.
But we felt so you won't find any donkeys or elephants, and it's just going to be patriotic America, just the good old glory with the red, white, and blue.
I've got a T-shirt that said "Freedom is never free."
That's right.
And on the front, they've got a what we used to do is put a bayonet on a rifle into the ground. And put the helmet on top of
it. That's right.
That's on the one side, and on the back is a big thing that says "Freedom is never free."
Amen.
Wow.
You know? And it's true.
Beautiful. It is
very true.
So that's going to be when now?
May 2nd. We celebrate.
That's a Monday.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Uh
oh.
I know. So, Larry, I think you're just going to have to find somebody. I think you need to get a sub here for the day
because you are a veteran and you really should be there.
You should.
You should be there and be honored. Because
I'm honored to be a volunteer.
Well, but
I understand why you put me by the front door.
Because talk to everybody.
No, that's just because if you want to get rid of me, you don't have far to go throw me.
Oh,
you know,
no.
I could go out the front door real quick. But you know, but anyway,
try and get a substitute for the radio that day.
Well, if I get my co-host on my show,
perfect.
I have a new co-host now.
We met her.
Carol Ricard, she's
we
cool.
We met her before,
I've known her for quite a while.
So she'll sub for you, no problem.
No, she's learning, you know, so she still has to learn how to do all this. So
we'll
see.
You've got, 4 weeks of mentoring to do now.
Yeah,
You mentor her, and then she'll be in great shape for May 2nd, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
we'll put you down as a yes.
Okay, that'll be good.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if I'll make it or not.
We'll try.
Yeah, well, I'll try.
This will be a fun one. Each and every year, Karen and I have been doing this now for 16 years. We started out with just a celebration, and it was like, after you do two of them, it's like these are very boring.
Dry toast.
My mother would always say that. It's like dry toast. It's not exciting. But when you theme it, we've had beach parties. We've had Kentucky Derbies. This year is Patriotic America. When you theme it, everybody gets excited. And then they're like, what's the theme this year? What do we dress up as? What do we do? And it really makes for a blast. We have a good time with it.
Yeah. You had to see everybody in their big Kentucky Derby hats last year.
It was good
fun. It was awesome.
Good fun.
I would like to have seen you guys in your Kentucky Derby hat. I believe you did. I would have loved to have seen you in them.
Hats we had last year. And we had a contest last year to see who had the best hats. That was really hard. I was glad I was not a judge because there was probably 50 hats that could have all come in first prize.
Yeah.
They were gorgeous. But that's, again, see, you put that little seed out there to your volunteers, and they go with it. And that's what they do. This is what volunteers do. They get involved. They participate. They become a part of it. And that just drives the team, I think, for even better participation. Everybody, you know, everybody wants to do that. Everybody wants to, you know. And then you talk your friends into it, and then they come on board. And we have past patients that have been cared for at the hospital by volunteers. Right. And then they come in and say, I can do that. I could push a wheelchair and help somebody get discharged. Now I want to be a volunteer. So that part of being a team, it just flows through everything, I think, that we do.
Right.
It's good.
Right.
Good stuff.
Yeah. No, it is. You know.
It is.
And, you know, in a lot of times, in a lot of people, it gives them a reason to get up in the morning
and
go out and do something rather than sit and watch as the world turns.
Right. Is that still on?
I don't know. I don't watch any of that stuff. I can't watch any of that stuff.
Right? But it's true.
No, but it is. You know, it gives them a reason to get up and get
out.
Yeah. You know.
Absolutely. And it is a great way because especially with some of those folks that are widowed or widowered or new in the area – their life is dramatically changed.
Sure.
So coming into the hospital, first of all, friendships come out of that.
Yeah.
You build new friendships. Secondly, what a great way to learn about your community hospital, to be a part of it, so that when your loved one does come into the hospital, you kind of have a foot up. You know what it is. You know a little bit of what's going on. So it gives you the opportunity to have a better understanding of your own community hospital. That's what I think makes it so great.
Right. I do. I think it is because, I mean, let's face it, nobody wants to be in a hospital. I don't care who they are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, working there is one thing. Being there is another thing, you know. And so if you volunteer there and you see the different sections or whatever you want to call it, and then someone you know or love has to go in.
Right.
You know, it's...
it's not as scary.
Yeah,
it's
a little more understanding. Right. You know, you can calm them down a little bit, you know.
Absolutely.
Saying, I know that. You know, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
It helps.
Yeah, it does.
And then you can... and that's the beauty. Not only are you navigating for those strangers that come in, but then you can be the navigator and the caregiver for your own family and your own loved ones when they come in. What better thing to be able to do?
Sure. Absolutely. Do the volunteers have to take a physical and all that?
We do have health requirements. We do require that all volunteers, if they're medically able to, get a flu shot. They have to have tuberculosis testing. Mm-hmm. They'll have to meet with our occupational health department. So when they first come on board, occupational health is going to meet with them, go over their vaccinations, such as mumps, measles, German measles. Mm-hmm. Reason we do that is, heaven forbid, there's a breakout in the area or we have some of those folks in the hospital. If you are not immune, last thing we want you to do is get in touch, contact with that and have a problem.
Are they still giving the TB shot to everybody?
No. At this point, unless you're direct patient contact, you don't need it annually. But when you do come on board as a volunteer, you still have to do the two-step.
The two-step. That's a New Jersey requirement.
Okay.
Yeah. State of New Jersey has some legal, you know,
actually,
reasons
I think
for
that's a national requirement now.
Yeah.
So anyone in healthcare has to have the two-step TB test.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about the... the test you sent a thing out on?
The Education Express.
Whatever. I don't know what it was. I didn't get it, so I don't know.
You didn't get it?
No.
You still got it?
I sent you a thing, and you said you're going to mail it,
I
never got it.
I re-emailed it.
Well, I don't know who you emailed it to, but it wasn't me.
Is it going into your junk folder?
Yeah, you have to check your spam.
Check your spam.
I deleted all my spam one by one last night.
Okay. Huh. I will resend it to you in the morning because
we'll get it.
We don't want you to not have to take the test.
Oh, right? Yeah. I would really not want to not have to take it.
So the main reason we do the annual education. And you got to think about this. This is the same type of education that Karen and I have as staff people. But when I've been there 25 years, Karen's been there 19 years. We have some volunteers that have been with us for 15, 30, 50, 50 years. Yes. So the orientation that they possibly had when they started is very different than the needs sure. of the institution now. So this little test that comes out, and it's six little modules would be emailed to you. We're getting very techie in the volunteer office. Our corporate compliance officer, Ann Michaels, has worked with us to really get this up and running so that we can improve everybody's timeline for education. And we're not killing trees and sending out booklets to everybody. So we're really hoping that this will be an annual thing, as it has been in the past. We used to do a paper form.
Right.
Now it's electronically sent out. And we're excited about it because it really is kind of bringing the volunteer up, the volunteer department up to the new
standard,
the new standards of giving and education. Yeah, it's great.
Well, like I said, I checked my spam. It didn't make it.
All right, it'll be there in the morning.
Well, you got my email address because we've emailed back and forth. You both have.
Okay. Yeah,
and you've got the new one.
And we do.
And so
we did find that because it was such a big group that it went out to, that it may have been a little glitchy, and some people may not have gotten it. So we've had to resend it to some folks.
Yes. Okay.
So it'll be there for you.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't want you to miss out on the
experience. Oh, heaven forbid. I don't want to miss out on
well,
it.
Well, we've given everybody a month to complete it. So what we'll do is at about the two-week mark, which is about now, we'll send out another little email to everybody just for the ones that didn't.
Well, I got the email. I just didn't get the thing.
Yeah, it came through a different section. So I sent that out through Constant Contact, and the other one's coming out through MediReg. So
we'll fix it.
All right. Well, I mean, heaven forbid I don't get this, you know.
Oh, you will get
then
it.
You can sit down at my desk on Friday, and I'll help you through it.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
See, that's that personal one-on-one training.
Yeah, see that?
That's right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'll have to do it before I have my colonoscopy next week.
Oh, you know? My God. Okay. Yeah, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God.
If somebody wanted to apply to be a volunteer, what is the – I know you briefly said that you interview them, and, but what is the procedure?
Well, there are two ways of reaching out to us. We have Hundred in Healthcare has a great website, 100inhealthcare.org. And they can go into that website and view volunteering and see there's different requirements for college student piece. There's a high school student piece. There's an adult volunteer piece. I think that's a good place to start to read up and see, is this something I really think I want to do? And once you get that understanding, there's Karen and my information is right there on our website, or you could call us at 908-788-6140.
6140.
And that's the phone number for volunteer resources. So that comes right into our main office. And usually it's either Karen picks it up or I'll pick it up. Or if we're both busy with people, it will go to our voicemails.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But either way, we get back to everybody within 24 hours. We usually get back to most people with the same day.
Right.
But that's probably the best way to reach us. Then we can talk. We don't post our applications online.
Okay.
And the main reason being because some are very appropriate to volunteer and others may not be. So we do a little, we talk to people. We try and find out what's their availability and what are their talents. Because although 100 in is an awesome place to volunteer, it might not be for everybody. And we can't take everybody, because if we did take just everybody, we'd probably have 4,000 volunteers.
And the experience wouldn't be the same for them or the hospital at that point.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is by us being able to talk to you on the phone and letting you know, these are the things we have available, this is what we're looking for in our volunteers.
Right.
If
if it isn't a good connection for some reason, we can then say, well, maybe look into your local
rescue squad
right. or possibly right. a nursing yeah. home. Yeah. And we can kind of direct yeah. you in another area yeah. that might be better suited for your needs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, we do that. We'll offer out food pantry options or the library. It takes right. takes volunteers.
They take volunteers.
So
yeah.
so if it doesn't pan out, if somebody comes back and says, oh, I really don't want to volunteer for a whole year, I only want to give 20 hours, we wouldn't take that person because, it's 6 hours just for orientation yeah. and an hour for an interview and an hour to go through your TB checks and stuff over at Auk Health. You're probably at 10 hours before you've even, completed right. your...
Yeah, and you're not going to get that experience in the department if you're only here for yeah. 20 hours.
So right. we're looking so. For committed folks that really want to be with us for a good amount of time.
Well, I can understand
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's an investment. Yeah. But, it's an investment both ways. We're investing in our volunteers in the hopes that they're learning and they're giving and they're enjoying it. So they want to stay.
But and they show up when they're supposed to, right?
And they show up when they're supposed to, right. Because for us, that's a big part of it. And that's where, again, even with our teens, that's a big part of teaching them that, if you want to be successful in life, you have to have excellent work ethics. And that means, put the phone down and shut it off and not while you're on duty. So, we're mentoring our youth in the community so that they become right. stronger individuals and then can absolutely continue to give back in their community.
Sure, sure. Yeah. And, it's aside from all the benefits of, on the resume and all that jazz, it also teaches them, what they may not learn in school.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because you're out dealing with people.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody is the smiling, happy person.
Correct.
So true. It's true.
But that doesn't mean that person that might not be smiling or happy or quiet, we can still figure out.
Oh, I'm not saying. Yeah, I'm not saying you can. I'm just saying that it's not the. Well, I don't know what the word is. It's not the ideal situation. Because now you're going to meet people
yeah.
of all walks of
all
life,
walks, yeah. yep.
right? All nationalities,
mm-hmm.
And some are nice, some are not nice, and hey, that's the way it is,
yeah, That's
I mean,
life.
you go out in the world, it's the way
it's
it is,
way
you know.
It is. So and it's a
not,
great introduction
right.
for everybody to
right.
understand that and to realize that even with our volunteers, they may not. We can't cure everybody.
No.
We can't heal
of course
everybody.
Not. Yeah.
But there's still an opportunity there to be nice to that person
right.
and to help people and cross those bridges, cross those
right.
areas that maybe, I never talked to this person before, or I wasn't sure what to do. But they're learning
right.
as they're growing. And that, to me, is what makes it a very strong
yeah.
opportunity for folks.
See how fast the hour went by?
Did it really?
It's an hour.
It's all over.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
So you guys will have to come back again.
Oh,
all right. We just might have to.
Yeah.
I thank you.
I thank you, both of you, for the work you do and for, helping the hospital and the community and the people in the hospitals and such. So
it's our pleasure.
Well,
and thank you so much.
In return, thank you for being one of our wonderful volunteers.
I don't know about wonderful, but
I think so.
But thank you so much, and I'm very privileged to have been the one to interview you.
Oh, thank you so much.
And
it's our pleasure.
And remember, folks, this is 100 Medical Center's Hour, and we'll be back again next week. Have a good week. Stay out of the hospital if you can.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
My prayers also go out to the operator of the train and to the passengers and who were injured and passengers who were on board and to the co-workers of the men who lost their lives.
The mayor of Chester, Pennsylvania is expressing sorrow after yesterday's deadly Amtrak crash. Mayor Thaddeus Kirkland says prayers go out to the two Amtrak workers who were killed yesterday when an Amtrak train slammed into construction equipment on the tracks.
We all want to send out our prayers to the families of the men who lost their lives on the tracks here in Chester yesterday.
The accident occurred about 15 miles south of Philadelphia and injured 35 people. The train was heading from New York to Savannah, Georgia, when the accident occurred. The NTSB and other federal officials are investigating the crash. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Rusty Humphreys, host of Trending Today USA, where we feature the biggest and the best and the brightest trending stories in the world. One of the places I go first every single day is WesternJournalism.com. Chris Agee's here. He's the managing editor of WesternJournalism.com. What makes WesternJournalism.com